I'm actually going to read Psalm 121 and 122 together, and then we will just turn to the Lord in prayer once more. So Psalm 121, and we're going to read from verse 1, and we're going to go on to Psalm 122. These are both titled A Song of Ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. A Song of Ascents of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Well, let's pray together. O Lord our God, we do bow before you and praise you and thank you that you are the God who delivers your people from all trouble and evil. We know that your word says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. And we rejoice in the gospel. We rejoice in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ over sin, over Satan, over death. We praise you that you have dealt with sin, which seeks to separate us from you, which seeks to destroy our souls in hell. We praise you that you took that sin, and sin that was ours, and you nailed it to the cross where Jesus gave his life for us. And how we thank you that Jesus Christ paid the full price for our sin. And when he cried out on the cross, "It is finished," we know that that debt had been paid. And we thank you that his resurrection from the dead proves that not only is he the Son of God, but that he has done what he came to do, and that he's deal with sin and Satan and death. Yes, Lord, we rejoice that death itself does not have the victory. Though our bodies will one day die, if the Lord should tarry, yet we know they will rise again one day when Jesus returns in a new and glorified way. And so we praise you for the hope that we have. We thank you too for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have purchased a people from every tongue, tribe, and nation, redeemed them. Thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit in opening the eyes of our hearts, helping us to see our sin and our need of the Savior. And thank you that you have baptized us into the body of believers by your Spirit. And thank you that we can never be separated from your hand. And we pray that you will continue to build your church, even today, as the gospel is being preached, that there would be those who would repent of their sin and call upon your name, who would believe in the gospel and be added to the church. We pray that you will bless those who will be bringing your word to your people. We pray that you would grant that your word would go out with might and power and speak to our hearts, revive our hearts, we pray. We pray that you would work in the church here at Bethany. Thank you for your people. Thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the families. Thank you for the children. Thank you that together we can come and worship you. We ask that you will strengthen the work of the Lord here. We pray that you would give us a heart that loves you, that loves one another, that loves your word. We pray that you will forgive us for all our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray that you will strengthen our faith even through the difficulties and hardships of life. We do want to pray for those in need right now. We thank you for the birth of little Emily. What a precious child she is. And we pray that you will give her a full recovery, that you'll grant your mercy upon her, Help her to regain her strength. Be with Josh and Carla. We pray that you will encourage and strengthen them and just bless them. Watch over them, we pray. We also think of others who are going through hard and difficult times, those who might be in need of work. We pray that you'd provide for them. Those who might be struggling with ill health, we pray for your healing hand upon them. We do want to remember Kuzi and Shamiso as they head back to Zimbabwe this week. Go before them. Grant that everything would work out well, from the removal of their furniture and goods to their journey back home. Grant that you would bless that church planting work, that you would establish it and grow it, and many people in the city of Harare would come to hear the gospel because of this church planting work. So bless them, we pray. And be with all of us in all our needs. We commit to you our land. Pray for peace and stability in our land. We realize there are many, many problems, and yes, great sins that we are guilty of. But Lord, we also know that you are a God who is rich in mercy. And we pray that you'd forgive this nation for her sins and turn the hearts of people to yourself. And give to our leaders the humility to lead well. Give to them wisdom in leading. And grant that there would be a restraint of evil and the exaltation of righteousness across our nation. Lord, be gracious to us. And grant that even as we think of the planting season for the farmers, that you would grant rain and provide food for this nation. Watch over the farmers and help them in their work and their labor. Have mercy upon the poor and the needy. Provide work for them too, we pray. Lord, we're just looking to you, a God of goodness and mercy, to show us your favor, even in these difficult days. But we thank you that we can turn to you now and worship you in song and then hear your word. Bless us as we do so. Cause your face to shine upon us, and may your name be praised. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning to you all. It is my joy and privilege to be back with you this morning to bring God's word. And we are very thankful to the Lord for this opportunity to come back here. And also we're very thankful for your many prayers for us, even as we went to Zimbabwe for 2 months. We are very thankful to you all. We know that you've been praying for us. Every prayer meeting, we know that you've been commending us to the grace of the Lord. And so we are very thankful for that. And we say continue to pray for us. And we also do remember you, even as we are there, when we pray for the churches that are in partnership with us. And Bethany is one of them. And so we constantly also remember you in prayer. And so also it is our joy that even as we went, we were 2, and now we come back as 2.5, and we are very happy for that. And pray for us through that journey as we look forward for that blessing to hold it in our hands. But let us turn to God's word. I will be preaching from Psalm 121. A Christian's help is from God. The help of believers comes from the Lord. 23 August for us came and went. Perhaps some of you may be asking, what happened on the 23rd of August of this year? And it was the day of elections in Zimbabwe. And that time came and it went. And a lot of people are asking questions right now. So what now? What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen in the next coming years? How will we proceed from there? How are we going to survive? How are we going to do this and that? Will they be this change or will they not? And the greatest question that people are asking is, where will my help or where will our help come from? And that is the question that many people do ask. Where will my help, where will our help come from? And that is the biggest question, even for the people in Zimbabwe. As you walk in the streets, you can sense the much despair and desperation. Is there anyone to whom we can turn to? Is there anyone who can help us? And when you think about the series of questions that we may ask, seeking for help for a non-Christian or a non-believer, in all these host of questions, it leaves him or her without any answer. At some point, the non-believer, they hit the dead end. In asking all these questions, one is left in despair. One is left in desperation because there is nowhere to turn to. At the end of it, it leaves one depressed. It leaves one, so to speak, in the mud. There is nowhere to go to. There is no one to help. But it is unlikely with a believer. A believer has somewhere to turn to. In all these questions that may come before us, that one may ask, in this greatest question, who will help? Where will my help come from? An unbeliever will know that there is help. And where does his help come from? His help comes from the Lord. His help comes from Jehovah, who is the creator of all things. He's like an unbeliever who walks in the path of darkness. He knows not what lies ahead. He knows not what will confront him. But for the believer, he walks in the light of Jehovah. And so for him or for her, there is no cause of being in desperation. There is no cause of being in despair. There is no cause of being left depressed, because he has his helper as the Lord. He knows that the Lord is working out all things for good, even in things that one does not understand. We rest in the Lord, knowing that he has said he's working out all things for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And so therefore, he has no cause to fear. He has no cause to be anxious, but rather he is called to set his eyes upon the Lord, who is his helper. That's where his eyes must always be. And so here we have in Psalm 121, we have the psalmist beginning by asking this question. I lift up my eyes to the hills in verse 1. From where does my help come from? He's seeking also for help. Where does his help come from? Everyone needs help. And what we see, first of all, in this psalm, it falls under the songs of ascents, as we see from the title. And there are 15 of them, starting from Psalm 120, moving on to Psalm 134. These were the songs of ascents that the travelers to Jerusalem, they would often sing as they would make their way up to Jerusalem, the city of God, as they would make their way to Jerusalem for religious purposes, for worship. And we can see that even in Psalm 122 that was read before us, Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. And so according to the Jewish calendar, the people of Israel, they would often go to Jerusalem. They would often go for Passover feast, or they would often go for the Pentecost and the Tabernacle feast. And so they would make these journeys up to Jerusalem. And so as you can think of you, some of you as you embark on journeys, as you go on a holiday, so often what you do is some of you like to listen to songs, some of you like to listen to sermons, some of you like to have audiobooks with you that you can help you as you go on this journey. But what they had was these songs that the Lord gave to them. These were these songs that were there to inspire them, that were there to encourage them as they would go up to Jerusalem. They would sing them. They were not just songs, but they were instructive songs. They were meant to teach something to them about life. You could think of the dangers that they would face as they would travel up to Jerusalem. They were meant to teach them life's lessons and to inspire them. They were meant to give them knowledge and understanding of the God to whom they were dealing with. And so each one of these songs of ascents, when you read each one of them, you would see that there is a lesson that you would learn from them. As we would know that even the Christian life, it's a pilgrimage to the holy city, to the city of God. It's not easy. It's difficult. It comes with its challenges. It comes with its troubles. It's not an easy one. As the Apostle Paul would say to Timothy, all those who desire to live a godly life, who suffer persecution. And so the Christian journey to the city of God is difficult. And you need encouragement. You need to be strengthened. You need the help of the Lord. Because on your own, you cannot. On your own, you are unable to make that journey. And so you need the help of the Lord. And so as it was with this psalmist, they needed the help of the Lord. They needed to be encouraged through these difficult journeys. They needed the Lord to look after them, to watch over them. They were met with many difficulties, met with many challenges, many dangers. It was not an easy journey up to Jerusalem. And as they would walk these long journeys up to Jerusalem, they were confronted with many dangers. The danger of being robbed, the danger of being attacked. And we get that even from the story that we read, the story of the Good Samaritan. Moving from Jerusalem down to Jericho, that it was a dangerous one as he was attacked. And that's how it was. It was not an easy one. As much as we think of the Christian life, it's not an easy one. It is a difficult one. It has many dangers. But the Christian needs not to fear. The Christian needs not to worry because he or she has his help in God. He has his trust in the Lord. And that's what we find with the psalmist having asked that question, I lift up mine eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? In verse 2, he says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord who created all things is his helper. As he looked to the mountains, as he looked to the hills, that's was not his solution. But even the mountains presented him with this great trouble. His mind would now perhaps start to be anxious and despair as he would think of that. Will I get to the city of God in a safe way? And he says, mine help is not in that, but mine help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, comes from the covenant-keeping God. That's what we have with that word Lord in capital letters. He is the covenant-keeping God. He is the faithful God. As he has promised, he cannot lie. We're reminded in Numbers 23:19. He's the great God. He's the faithful one to whom he can look to and trust. His help is from the Lord. The Christian help comes from Jehovah. And when you think about the word that is used here, help, it is the word in Hebrew that means ezer. And this word, when you think about it, it's used quite a number of times in the Old Testament. If we come across it first, even in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 18, many of you may know this story. As Adam was created and the Lord had created all these animals and they were brought before him. And as they were coming two by two, perhaps you can see there Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe. You can think of many of them coming, but there was no suitable one for him. And when you go to read Genesis 2:18, we read that God made a helper for Adam. God was Adam's Ezer. He was Adam's helper. In Exodus 18, we read of an encounter of Moses as he retells how the Lord had delivered the people of Israel from Egypt and how God was with them throughout all the journey, how he had walked with them. And we are told that Moses named one of his sons Eleazar. And it is built upon two words, meaning God, and Eze meaning help. And these are the words that Moses says. He says, the God of my father was my help, and he delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. He says, God has been my Eze. God is my helper. The same is when you read in 1 Samuel 7, we have the people of the Lord encamped at Mizpah. And there they approached with the Philistines to fight them. And the people of the Lord called Samuel, and they called him. They said, cry for us to the Lord. And Samuel cried for them to the Lord. He made a sacrifice, and they had victory on that day. And when we read in 1 Samuel 7 in verse 12, we read, then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, till now, the Lord has helped us. The Lord is the helper of his people. The Lord is the Ebenezer of the believer. He always helps his people. Those who look to the Lord, they have the help of Jehovah. The help of a Christian is not inward. It does not come from yourself. But the help of a Christian comes outward. It comes from the Lord. Mine eyes are not set to myself. Mine eyes are set to the Lord, who is my helper. That's what every Christian does. It is not inward, but it is outward. It is from the Lord, the one who created all things, the one who is the sovereign creator, the sovereign ruler of all things. When others are looking elsewhere, when others are looking to the philosophies of this world, when others are looking to political leaders, when others are turning to Google, so often people does that today, but the Christian turns to the Lord and seek help from the Lord. In Psalm 124 in verse 8, again, one of the songs of ascents, the psalmist says, from verse 7, we have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. They trusted in the sovereign Lord. They trusted in the Creator who is faithful, who is always faithful to keep and to watch over them. And so, if you are a believer this morning, I hope you say your help is not from yourself, but you say, Ebenezer, the Lord is your helper. The Lord is your Eze. You have no need to be worried or to fear or to be anxious, as I said earlier on. But yours is confidently to trust and look to the Lord. But if you are an unbeliever this morning, this will be foreign to you, because you do not look to the Lord. You look to yourself, or you look to other means for help. If you are far away from the Lord, you cannot seek for help from the Lord. Only when you are closer to the Lord, only when you are in a relationship with the Lord, that's how you can have help and seek for help from the Lord. But for those who are far away, they think of themselves autonomous. They think of themselves self-sufficient to help themselves. And so many people today, they think of themselves self-sufficient. But what we know is that we cannot help ourselves. We need to look to the Lord to help us. And so if you have a relationship with the Lord, yours is the joy of knowing that you have the Lord, the sovereign creator, on your right-hand side. Is the one who is your helper. And in his helping you, how does he go about it? That's what we have from verse 3 to verse 8. How the Lord goes about helping his people. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you not slumber, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And we see three ways in which the Lord keeps. First, the Lord keeps. The keeping of the Lord is careful and constant. In verses 3 and 4, the keeping of the Lord is careful and constant. He will not let your foot be moved. Through life's challenges, through life difficulties, at times we feel as though we're walking on ice. We can fall at any minute. And that was also the case even with Asaph in Psalm 73 as he encountered the difficulties and the challenges of life. And he said his feet had almost stumbled. His steps nearly slipped. But the Lord was his helper. Jehovah keeps the feet of his people. He keeps the feet of his people secure. He keeps the feet of his people firm to the ground. That's what he does. He who keeps your soul will not let your feet slip. That's what we read in Psalm 66 in verse 9. And so the keeping of the Lord is very careful and constant. It makes us to walk secure and keeps our feet from stumbling. In Proverbs 3, verse 23, we're reminded that he makes us walk secure. He keeps our feet from stumbling. And that's what we have when you think about being in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he carefully keeps us. He is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us before the Lord blameless without fault. The Lord keeps us without fault. And look at what the psalmist says. He says, he who is our keeper, he neither slumber nor sleeps. He who keeps you will not slumber. He will neither slumber nor sleeps. He is always at watch over us. He is not like you and I. Often we find ourselves, we grow tired, we grow weary, we want some rest. But the Lord is not like that. He needs not to go and relieve himself and to get some rest. But Isaiah says, it's like the Lord grows from strength to strength. And such a one is the keeper, who is the one who does not grow tired or weary. He is the faithful keeper. He is the faithful watcher. He says he is not like even the watchers of Israel when you read in Isaiah 56 in verse 10. The watchers of Israel, they failed. They grow weary and tired. And he says in verse 9, all you beasts of the field come to devour all you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They're all without knowledge. They're all silent dogs. They cannot bark, dreaming, lying down, loving to slumber. The watchmen of Israel, they were not faithful. They failed at times. They were not good shepherds, as the word keep illustrates. But the Lord is the one who is the faithful keeper. He is the one who is the faithful shepherd of his people. And unless he watches over us, even the other watchmen, they watch in vain. And that's what we have in Psalm 127 in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. But the keeping of the Lord is faithful. He is very careful in what he does. He is unhindered. He is undisturbed in watching over his people. And secondly, in verses 5 to 8, we see that the keeping of the Lord is not only careful and constant, but it is comprehensive. He keeps us in all things. I wait In Psalm 121, verses 5 and 6, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on the right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. He needs not to fear even the danger of the heat that would heat them even as they were walking through the desert up to Jerusalem. They were faced with this scorching heat that could harm them. But the psalmist said, the Lord watches over me in all these dangers. I have the covering of the Lord. He's the one who covers us, who protects us. He's the one who has promised to preserve us. And in Christ, God has said, He will neither leave us nor forsake us. Do we have any cause to fear? There is no need to fear of any assaults of the enemy, because the divine protection of the Lord is upon His people. He keeps them even from all evil. He delivers them from all the evil. He's the one who's always upholding them. And so this is the second part of it. And the third and the final point is the keeping of the Lord is not only comprehensive, but it is continuous. It goes on and on and on. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So often we're living in doubts. So I know the Lord keeps, but there shouldn't be any buts. But we must trust in His watching and His keeping after us if you are His own. His keeping is every day. You're going out, you're coming in. His eyes are always upon you. Even the apostles, they testify that. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 21, they spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ going in and out among them, watching over them, keeping them continuously. He was always with them. And it is the same with us in Christ. Is always daily with us as our helper. As He has given to us the help of the Holy Spirit, who is always even with us, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, always with us, every day, in every way, in everything. The Lord keeps us. And so through these troubles, through these difficulties, through the difficulty of the life journey that we face here, while we are on this side as Christians, as we march on to the city of God, where must we be looking? We must be looking to the Lord as our helper. We must not look elsewhere, but we must look to the Lord to help us. And so this is the psalm that we have before us. Christian help comes from God, not anywhere else. So I pray and trust that if you are a believer, you know where your help comes from. But if you are not, you need to come to know the Lord, that you can have the Lord as your helper. You need to come closer to Him. And the only way to come closer to Him is to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Place your faith and trust in Him alone for salvation. You need to come to the Lord and seek Him, that He may also be your helper, that He may also be the one who is always keeping you carefully, constantly, in everything, in all circumstances, that you also be like the Christian. No need to worry, no need to fear, no need to be anxious. Be it, it's all about work, it's about family, whatever it may be, to say, I have the Lord on my side as my helper, as my Ebenezer. And that's what we have even when we testify, when we sing, come the fountain of every blessing. And He speaks of the Lord as His end goal, as His helper, His Ebenezer. And so may the Lord help us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that we can turn to You as our God and our helper. Help does not come from us, but it comes from You who created us. you who is faithful to keep us. O Lord our God, we do pray that we may experience this truth in our lives. Even as we go, as we think about the message, that even through the life challenges and struggles we may meet, that we would set our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would seek for Him to help us. O Lord, we pray that You help us to cast our burdens and anxieties upon Him who cares for us, that we may know that the caring of the Lord is tender and faithful. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.